All right, thanks.
All right. Well, welcome to the Community Services and Safety Committee. I am a committee member, but I'm sitting in for the chair, Councilmember De Lestrinas Johnson, today. So let's just start quickly with introductions, because I'm rusty and haven't done committee since we were in person. So let's start with committee members.
You want me to go? It's Kate Kruller. I'm the City Council President, and I'm part of the substitution for the chair. I'm not the chair today. Happy.
I'm Zach Udon, committee member.
Okay. And staff?
I'll go ahead and start. David Klein, City Administrator, and then I was going to hand it off to Director Rick Still, and he can introduce some of his staff, and then Jay Whitwer can introduce the staff and Union President who are on the call as well. Go ahead, Rick.
Good evening. Thanks for having us tonight. I'm Rick Still, Director of Parks and Recreation. With us tonight is Tracy Galloway, the Parks and Recreation Manager, and Stephanie Gardner should be on soon. She's our Parks and Recreation Analyst.
Hello, I'm Jay Whitwer, the fire chief for Tukwila. We have Norm Golden, who is our deputy fire chief, and James Booth, who is the president of Local 2088. I do not see any others, at least from the screen that I'm on.
I see Ben Heyman, fire marshal, battalion chief in the fire marshal's office as well.
Okay, thank you.
And then Laurel Humphrey.
Yes, this is Laurel, City Council staff. Thank you.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started. So we do have three items on the agenda, and we'll start with the first. And then after Chief Whitwer gives his kind of opening comments, then I will engage briefly with the committee members.
Excellent. Thank you. Again, Jay Whitwer from the Fire Department. You have before you the packet, memo, and information. The Center for Public Safety Management produced an excellent document, and the vast majority of that we're very excited to share with the Council. This is a vendor that is well known throughout the country. I actually talked to a gentleman today that is very familiar with them and just had rave reports as well, and was very pleased that we had brought CPSM in to do this study. Much of what was shared with council last Monday night at the COW is just so valuable. We're very fortunate to have had Mike Iacona as the lead on the project, as well as two others that worked extensively with the data sets. Very fortunate that we had Jake Berry on the project as well. He ran a lot of the information through and was able to pull the data and the information necessary for CPSM. For myself, I work close with Mike Iacona, the point from CPSM, in making sure that they had the necessary information that was required for them to do this study. Tonight, our goal is to engage with the three council members here tonight, and really for it to be a listening session for us. We'll be taking notes. The end result is what we would like to be able to produce from tonight's activities, is that we come up with a work plan of how to move forward with implementing and discussing the various things and recommendations that are contained within this valuable report. Chief Golden and I have spoken extensively about the report, as well as our command staff, and that is all the battalion chiefs and then those all who report directly to the fire chief. We've also engaged with Local 2088, and we're really glad that Captain Booth, or President Booth, is able to meet with us today and to be able to interact with council if necessary. At this time, I would like to turn some time over to Deputy Chief Golden. He can just give a quick overview of the report, and then we'll turn it back to the council. Chief Golden.
Thank you, Chief Whitwer, and good evening to the council and to staff and President Booth. Hopefully the committee had time to go through the report, and we're kind of trying to throw the different issues into different sections to make it easier to look at. And like Chief Whitwer said, we're really interested in listening and seeing what the council has to say. There's a lot of data in this, and what's nice is this was a national study that showed some really positive things. I was pleased to see what their thoughts were. They used the word exceptional several times when it came to our facilities and our equipment and our people, and that's something that we all know, but it's nice to have that backed up through a national report. So there is just loads of information in here, lots of discussion points. Chief and I are excited to see what the council thinks, and we're certainly looking for direction on where to get started and what things to look for. And so I plan to be here for the entire meeting and available for questions. And I have tons of different notes on it and different ideas, and we can't wait to see what the council or this committee has to say tonight. Thanks, Chief.
All right. Thank you, Chief Golden. I do apologize for the Microsoft Teams program right now. Not that it's really in my control, but this is a system-wide issue. I'm not sure if you discussed that or not yet. The only person I see attending this meeting is myself, and then I've got a spinning circle above my face. So I can see my face, and that's it. I'm hoping that all of you are having a better experience. I'm not going to log out and log back in because I can hear the dialogue that's going on. This is something that I know Microsoft is working on. It's affected the schools and all those who use Microsoft Teams. So I apologize if I'm not able to recognize people by face on this meeting. So at this time, I would like to turn it back to Council Member Quinn for any questions or what you would like to address.
Sure. So I wanted to give it a preamble, and I know that my fellow council members are going to want to weigh in. And so I guess I would start by saying this. One of the great questions that was asked last Monday was, how did we get here? From Councilmember De Los Trinos Johnson. And my quick and immediate response is, we didn't get here overnight, and we're not going to solve this overnight. So this is probably part one of probably several, but in particular, kind of logistics discussion, because I want the chair to really weigh in on the logistics. And so there are some fundamental things that I hope that we could go through. I don't want to take up all the space from fellow council members, but I think one thing that still needs to be done is identifying those items that are related to bargaining. And so I think there's going to be a step of identifying those pieces so that, you know, we're clear in the spaces that we operate in and those that are in negotiations. There's probably some gray area, but the hope is that we get some feedback. I want to make this a step-by-step process. And so hopefully today, and I think Councilmember Crawler did a really good job of asking some pretty detailed questions, and maybe you can look at them as right now, not necessarily having the answers, but having a path for those answers to be presented to this committee, and when it's appropriate, potentially presenting it to a work session. And then the other thing I will also say is, don't make an assumption. And I think one of the things that I've been really working on and just kind of learning throughout the process is, sometimes we do city speak and the general public needs to learn and absorb this information as well. So there's going to be some pieces that will require more background and definitions for us to discuss. So again, the goal is to kind of identify kind of a couple of core things on how we would want to structure how we have this conversation on the committee to build up for a future work session. So with that, I will not take up any more space. I'll probably talk after because I do have some detailed questions, but I wanted to leave the floor open for Councilmember Kroller and Councilmember Edan.
I'm going to yield to Councilmember Edan because I asked a lot of questions on Monday.
Well, I was going to do the same thing to you, but what I have to say, I guess, is very short. The report itself is a really great report. There's a lot of information. I went through, I think, one and a half now. I didn't finish. What I'm interested in is for 2021, we're in March, what can we get done by December? What are those items? Looking through the report, I can shout it out which ones are those, but I would like those items to be identified. And then as we go into 22, what can be done in 22? So in short, I just wanted to kind of, I don't know if I'm going to be on this committee, but just for 2021, what is the items that look like in this report that are logically make sense that we can tackle? Logically make sense from the city staff level, level of effort required to accomplish those. I would like that administration to come back to this committee and say, here is A, B, and C, that we got the manpower to support this, or we got the consultant work to support this. And if something requires financial need when we need additional information, I like to have that comprehensive, item identified and already got a quote for it or whatever it is, and know where that, have a plan for that. So that's just my short piece. I'll yield back to Councilmember Kroller.
So just at the high level, items that can be related to bargaining, we just have to set that aside for bargaining times. It's been mentioned. Items that can be accomplished this year, and then I have items for the future and that needs funding a little more long term. I'm capturing that we're going to set up a work plan, but we also need work sessions for the administration to respond to open questions that we've had, plus any that come up tonight. The last thing is there's probably some items we can all agree that we just want to throw out. Nobody's interested in it. That's nothing to do with the other three topics. If there's low-hanging fruit in that regard. And then, I would hope that as we look at low-hanging fruit and things that can be done in this year, we would try to apply some kind of prioritization using Prater's Law, 80-20 rules, where we put in 20% effort and get 80% return on our trouble versus the other way around, if that makes sense to everyone. That's my opening comments for now.
So I think both of those things are great. I knew committee members would do a great job. And so clearly we heard what's the low-hanging fruit. Clearly we heard, what can we accomplish in 21. We also heard, how do we tee this up for a work session in the future? And I think a part of this, the role of the committee, is to make sure we're defining key things so that as we tee it up for the work session, there is documentation surrounding the issues that we've identified. I think what was clearly stated too is hearing from the administration around which things are identified as bargaining. And so I think there's a step where you come back with these high level questions and we start the discussion for sure. And then the 80-20 rule, which I think is really good in the sense of what do we know that we can agree on and work towards an outcome, and really sets us up. And I guess I'd have to say, tipping my hat to the chair of the budget, he's already hitting the ground running. Said, what can I tee up for the full budget next year? So I think there are definitely some key things. And then maybe what wasn't there is if there are things that we need to kind of hear the administrative perspective. And then obviously if we can hear from kind of the union, as long as we agree that certain things are negotiated and other things aren't, if there are just some fundamental facts that we could have, I'm thinking we maybe do this as a process like Kate, you and I did on the budget, where we just really broke down all the pieces so that when we did have a work session, we had the history, we had the subject matter, and then we had here's what we found, and now we're sharing this with the council. So I think there's a lot of groundwork that needs to be done, but I think having kind of a formal I guess I would ask this, maybe it's to David Klein, you know, what are the things that we actually think we can do, right? What are things that are identified as low-hanging fruit, a place to start? What are things that will require some more background information? Oh, and I forgot one more thing, and not everybody will agree with this, but there is this public side of this conversation that needs to be had. And I think we clearly need to be distinct if there is a potential need for a structural change or a revenue identified process, that where's the innovation? Is the innovation going to be, hey, here's a potential opportunity to have this be a public process? So I think there's just some pieces here where we can get not only ourselves up to speed, not only the full council up to speed, but get the community up to speed. And so how do we develop the kind of documentation that would feed that? So I don't know if my fellow council members have additional things, but we're already creating a pretty good list. Let's keep it rolling.
I just got one more, just two more things. I'd also like a way to, I could figure out, but I think we need to create two columns where I think this has been mentioned earlier, there is one for administrative changes and one for needs of policy change. And I think, since, some folks are really impacted, and I'm kind of thinking about the union. What are they? Is there a conversation? I heard the chief said, met with James today. What sort of a discussion that is going on that could help us in our deliberation as we make some of these decision points? I think I talked about the timeline, and then figuring out, one thing I just wanted to highlight, I think Deshaun did mention, is and I'm glad we have the council president in this meeting, is I'm not looking forward to having a conversation in this subject either a COW or regular meeting, because I really want to kind of focus on a work session where this is the only discussion item, and then we could spend about 2 hours or whatever. So I would really stress that piece, because in order to kind of go through the background, work and bring along with the community and then get to where we are at. And then, you know, possibly come to consensus. We really need a some sort of a workshop that's just kind of dedicated to, especially to the subject. That's all I have. Thank you.
And I just want to acknowledge the aforementioned comments about public sessions, work sessions. And at the very highest level, what I could get from the consultant on Monday was the real core issue is about the fact that we have excellence in all kinds of things, categories. We have areas we can improve. But the high level was to get from where we are right now, which is not sustainable, to sustainable. So that should be the focus, no matter what we're trying to do. And I would suggest, especially during this year when we're trying to ID what we can do between now and the end of the year, that it's somewhat iterative in nature. If we find smaller, easy to apply things and can agree, let's get on with it. You know, if it takes a little more conversation, fine, and iron out some details, great.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, because it's just the burn of steel in me, I would want some weigh in from our attorney on what's related to bargaining and the people who tend to do the bargaining. There's, you know, the folks on the fire department rank and file side, we don't get down and do the deliberations right here in the work session. So it's better if we have legal guidelines as to what we can talk about and what needs to be negotiated.
That's
great. Great.
If I may,
yep.
Council members, Council President, can you talk more about, I heard some additional ones on that second round was one, the financial sustainability, I think is a core issue that we need to come back, and also more about the community process. Can you give us some ideas of what the council is thinking about? I heard very clearly the different things about bargaining, about what's available and doable this year, what has financial issues, what's available next year. I'd love to hear a little bit more conversation about how to bring the public and the community along who we serve. If there's some ideas the council, and we'll come back and feedback those and additional ideas as well.
So since I said it, I'll step up first. And this one, again, I'll defer to the council president, right?
Mm-hmm.
This comment about it being iterative.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also innovation that we can apply to what we've learned from this study. And if it requires a community process, let's talk about what could be in that space, including the administration and kind of the union as well, because I think fundamentally what we both agree on is getting to a sustainable fire department is going to be important as a part of that. It could be, not saying it has to be, but it could be a community process where we're clearly intentionally going through those things as it relates to the service that is provided, what it would require or need for service and service level. And that is a key conversation that we don't want to miss the opportunity to engage as we deliberate on this information. This could come out of a second work session, but to kind of read the tea leaves a little bit and say, there probably needs to be, again, a level of public education in this process, so we know, again, it took a long time to get here, and a part of what the challenge is why we're here, is never being able to finish that conversation, whether it be a community process, an RFA, you know, all these other things. It seems like there's still some community conversation that could be had as an innovative way to get to the outcome that we want. But again, it's iterative.
Mm-hmm. Zach, did you want to go?
Go ahead, Kate.
So I would love, beyond just the Facebook crowd, to actually communicate. All we're talking about, not the stage suit or anything, we have sat down, we know we're going to put together a work plan, we know there's going to be a process of elimination to figure out what to concentrate on first, that we will have work sessions to dive deeper, that the public can attend. And then I wrote down public communication and public process and engagement. I would not put it beyond the level of participation that we got for the police chief.
A few years.
You know, input from the community on the police chief. We got really good cooperation. And I think there needs to be catharsis of people saying, wow, you moved 52. You understaff 52, whatever the fables are, put it all out on the table and say, what are you going to do when I pick up the phone and it's different than it was before you moved, before you change anything in your work plans? You know, what about apartment fires? You know, they're going to have a million questions that aren't right up and down the line on the work plan. Mm-hmm. It's time for us to just answer, you know. And so, so it's public with what we know to be the right answers. And it would be very helpful to be shoulder-to-shoulder with fire department as we do this.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing we didn't mention all the way through this is that we're in a situation where there's three council members talking. We've had some questions on Monday, and everybody's in a, you know, listening session mode. I'm extremely curious what administration, the chief, the command staff, and the rank and file through the union feel about this study. I'd like to have that feedback. I mean, that's not public engagement, but it kind of is, because it's not a council moment. So I would like to get that kind of feedback probably sooner than later.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we can find out where we have common ground and where it's a short distance to common ground and where, you know, I would love to unwrap any fears people have and demystify things that might be rumors. Because as far as I know, we got a study and we haven't, other than this discussion, mapped out anything.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So, Councilmember Carla, I just wanted to, we did say it, we just said it all differently about wanting kind of formal and informal feedback to inform and be documented in the information before we would move to a work session. Councilmember Don.
I think both of you guys captured really beautifully. So I don't have anything to add. So thanks.
Okay. There was a lot of questions, a lot of things to come back to this committee, and still enough room for Councilmember De Los Trinos to also help shape this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming that if there's no more questions, or David, if you have a comment you wanted, okay.
No, I think just want to wrap it up. I know that Chief Whitmore may not be able to see everyone. I think there's general agreement here. And our plan is to work on the items that you've talked about, come up with a work plan at the next committee, and then get that clear direction so we know what the work plan looks like for 2021 going into 2022 as well. All right?
Yep.
Thank you.
All
and
right.
At this point, I would like to just weigh in. You can hear me okay, correct?
Yep.
Okay, good. I do want to thank the council for having us here this evening, and for your very pointed discussion points with us. I have three pages of notes that I've taken, and I know Chief Golden has been taking notes as well, and we'll collaborate to make sure that we capture all of these ideas. Chief Golden did mention the word exceptional, and that was something I was going to use in my closing remarks. CPSM did refer to the fire department and the city as exceptional in a number of different ways, and that is not taken lightly from that particular organization. They are a national company that you may recall, Mr. Iacona stated that he has done close to 50 of these similar reports all across the country. And as I met with him, he did make that comment to me, is he was impressed with much of what was going on, especially the regional partnerships that we have been taking part in for well over 10 years, and the efficiencies that we have made with that, not only with our city, but with the whole region. So in closing, I do want to thank the council for their exceptional efforts tonight to convey and to articulate their message to us. We hear you loud and clear, and we'll be providing this information to you in a very short period of time. So that is my concluding statement. Thank you.
Thank you. And I think maybe as a part of this, too, Councilmember De Los Trinos will probably interact with Councilmember Kroller kind of on timing and how far we're getting and things like that. So there's a huge opportunity for collaboration. All right. Oh, you have something.
One more thing. It's just from last Monday, would it be all right if you guys started the traditional way admin captures our questions and puts the responses to them? I might as well just start, you know, since we're not loading it up too much tonight, I don't think.
Okay.
It might be a good practice to just follow so we can track what we've been talking about.
Good idea.
All right. So we're going to move on to item B, which is an update on the Tukwila Pond Master Plan. Tracy, is it you or
Hello.
Is it Rick? Okay.
Yes. Hi, Tracy Galloway, Parks and Recreation Manager, and I am the project manager on the Tukwila Pond Master Plan project. So I just wanted to start with telling you that the memo includes, you know, a high-level overview regarding the project to date and the community engagement and outreach we've done so far for the project. And the attachments give you a more detailed look into some of those items. There's a communication toolkit that Stephanie Gardner has helped me to develop for this project so we could track different pieces of the outreach we're doing. Because this is a long-term project, you know, we see this as, you know, now to 10 to 20 years. We wanted to be able to have a good tool to track the engagement we're using for this project and the strategies we're employing. You know, right now it's in the virtual world is most of what we're doing, but we just wanted to be able to have one document where we could kind of track all these different pieces. And then the second appendix item is a detailed summary for as we've done engagement, to track the timeline, the main purpose of the meetings, and some of the information we're receiving for the project. So I'll go ahead and give a little bit of summary for what we've done. So in October, the project kicked off, and the project team spent some time gathering documents, doing a site evaluation and inventory. They did site visits, and they checked many of the existing city documents and plans for items related to this park site. So after that, we worked with city staff to develop a list of stakeholders, and we did outreach to them. And first we did a grouping of city staff stakeholders because we know a lot of staff have been involved over the years in projects related to in and around the pond. So we really wanted to tap into our staff to kind of understand the history of the project. So we held a staff stakeholder meeting in December, and that helped us kind of further refine our presentation that we were going to be presenting to the stakeholder group in January. And then in January, we convened our stakeholder group, which was quite representative, tried to get a good cross-section of the community, although, you know, that's always the challenge, is always trying to invite more people. And the more you talk to people, you find more people that might have an interest. So we are trying to make this an all-inclusive process. So as we meet people along the way, extend invitations to participate in the process. So we had our first meeting in early January and had great participation in that, about 40 people. And then from there, we kind of broke the stakeholder group into some main areas of interest and invited them to come back to a charrette later in January where we could talk more in detail about these kind of three overarching areas, which were adjacent property owners. We know they have some specific interests and concerns for development of this park property. We talked with about water quality and habitat, because we know that this is a beautiful natural area and it's protected, and there's some definite interest in maintaining that and expanding that. And then we also wanted to talk about placemaking and storytelling and what activation and amenities this park could have. So we did a deeper dive with stakeholders during that time and got some good discussion. And then from those subsequent meetings, we continued to refine our presentation and had a open community meeting on February 3rd. And we, again, had great participation. There was some people that have kind of followed us along the way, but we had a lot of new names and faces that participated in that session. I believe the mayor was participatory in that, as well as Council President Kroller. So thanks for being a part of it. And that kind of, through that process, we gathered information. And then the other ways we've been gathering information is we had an online survey that's still up, but we had 44 responses so far, plus we had one of our student reps did his own survey for us and surveyed some high school students and got some other feedback from them. So that was helpful along the way. So where we're at now is the project team has been working on some design concepts based on what we've heard through this process, kind of some of the some of what we've heard. I'll just give you kind of a preview is access to good wayfinding is important. Parking agreements are potentially important. People are interested in loop trails and a boardwalk system, improvements to water quality in the pond for better views of the water and also for wildlife to increase their habitat, potential for a nature play area, interest in art, whether that be a sculpture garden or a water feature or some sort of changing art that could happen that would bring people into the park. I think one of the main things we have heard is really the desire for this passive recreation alternatives that help preserve the park. There's a lot of people that go there for wildlife, especially waterfowl. There's the Audubon is very interested in this site. So we really have to, you know, keep that in mind. But we also need to think about the potential for development in the surrounding area of the pond and what that might look like moving forward, what opportunities might exist, because right now that's a big part of our engagement is with our adjacent and surrounding property owners. We're getting ready to start doing individual stakeholder interviews with those people because they may have needs and interests that they are willing to share one-on-one, but maybe not as part of a large group. So we want to respect that and just kind of overview some of these different options for, you know, with them, what they might be willing to work with us on now, and if they might have planned development in the future. So we're in a kind of 2 to 3 week phase of doing that. And so those interviews are going to be handled by a subcontractor for J.A. Brennan, as well as Brandon Miles in economic development. They're kind of tag teaming those interviews because we think it's important because this is a long-term plan. We want those relationships developed with our city staff, not just our consultants. So we're really trying to make sure that we're in lockstep with what that looks like. We're taking good notes. We're getting a clear understanding of what those opportunities might come from. And then this is kind of, you know, now and in the future. So what's happening in the near future is tomorrow we have we're revisiting a meeting with our staff stakeholders. At this meeting, we'll kind of review what we learned through the initial engagement process. And a few design alternatives have been developed. I think there's about four that we want to discuss with the staff. And then we'll refine that a little bit more before we have our meeting with our project stakeholders, which is on March 31st. That they'll be presented with two design alternative options. And again, with that information we get from the interviews and from that meeting, we'll refine it further for the public meeting we have planned on April 21st. And then I have included in your packet just a tentative schedule. I would like to come back to visit you, this committee, in June for another update after we get through that next phase of community engagement. And then in July, we'll be coming to the community with a draft master plan, and then back to CSS in August, and then hopefully late September, early October, we'll present to the council for the final master plan and hopeful approval. Do you have any questions?
All right. Let's start with the committee members. Councilmember Redon, did you have any questions?
No, I don't have any particular questions. Thank you for your presentation, Tracy. I really appreciate it. Just a minor a question regarding the surrounding properties. When you engage them, is there anything that you would like to share us with that are concerned that you've heard your first engagement with them?
No, I think when we first engaged with them, they were very interested in what the city might be interested in doing on that site. And most of our, you know, we talked to them about some of the biggest issues we're dealing with right now have to do with access to the park. We don't have a lot of great access, and we don't have good parking. And so we wanted to see what opportunities there might be to discuss easements or other items that they might be interested in doing, especially with this talk about a potential like loop trail. That was one of the biggest things that came to us from all the groups. They really want to be able to walk around the pond. They want to be able to access it at different points. That will make them feel safer. And so just trying to understand kind of from the business and property owners kind of how we might impact them or what they are planning might impact us. So we have a very good list of questions that we're using for the interviews that are going to be happening that we'll be able to gather a lot of that. And I'd be happy to share that with any of you too once we get through the
process. Yeah, the alternative reviews are coming up. So it'd be great to do that second check-in with them and see what that looks like. So how long does the implementation take to build this?
Well, this is just a master plan. So right now our funding is just to create a plan, and then we're going to look to see, you know, we're hoping to find some easy wins, some implementation that we can do, whether it's, you know, improvements, amenities, maintenance that we can do right off the bat to get some excitement around this park. You know, everybody wants to see this park activated, but a lot of it will be contingent upon funding, you know, what funding sources we have. So the master plan helps us, you know, access different grants because we have a plan in place. It will help us access different funding sources. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, thank you. That's all I have.
Well, I feel pretty informed because I was involved in your charrette, and I really enjoyed the participation. Also, Kathy Hogarty was part of it, too. I think your plan makes perfect sense to me. I appreciate your presentation and where you're at right now. And I, you know, in one of the few occasions, I don't have any adds or deletes or modifications to make. Good work.
Thank you.
I'm also pretty informed, although I didn't participate. So the one kind of global question is, in the plan, this anticipation of redevelopment, and in particular, I think historically we've talked about Target and other things. Is the plan going to, the master plan going to speak to what we've heard from kind of the businesses on what they, on the steps that they may take that could inform and or enhance or be a barrier to success?
Well, I think that the plan will speak in more generalities, because I think it will be hard to hold anybody to any, you know, we may not want to name businesses and what they want to commit to us, but I think that we are gathering that information and plan to work with those property owners to, you know, even once the master, you know, once the official master plan's adoption, that's when the real work begins, to see like what can we realize with our adjacent property owners or neighbors. Many of them have participated in the process so far, so that's encouraging, and they're really interested in this. So I think, you know, we're looking at, you know, the four sides of the pond. What are the opportunities that can exist? And some of the items that we're going to see in the designs that are going to come up in this next phase are not necessarily site specific. They may seem to be somewhat site specific, but I think we have an opportunity to put them at different parts of the park. It just depends on, you know, who the adjacent property owners are and what they might be interested in developing on their property, how they want their property to be in relation to our park. So.
Okay. Well, thank you. I don't think there's anything else. So we'll look forward to having this item come back. All right. Let's move on to item C, which is an update on Green Tukwila. And this is discussion only, or information only.
Correct. Yeah. Good evening. Rick Phil, Director of Parks and Recreation. Apparently at the last committee meeting, it was requested to provide an update on the Green Tukwila program. So that's in your packet. You can see it's broken down by areas of programming we do within the Green Tukwila. Tours and education. We're currently doing senior nature walks and the kaleidoscope program. That's a 0 to 5 year old program that's free for kids. We have a grant for that, so we're able to take them and get them interested in nature as well. Then the volunteer events. We started the events back in February once the governor allowed us to do so, but our partners have not. So that's the big projects and big partner projects haven't started yet. And then some of our partners, like Dirt Core and Earth Core and Forterra, they've been working on green, the Regreen the Green project. So they have various sites that they've been working on throughout the city, the community center, Fort Dent, Bicentennial Park, and the Green River Trail, that by Pond 17, that there by the trail. And then we call it the PIE, or Partners in Employment. It's trying to get kids, youth to learn what jobs are out there in the green world. And that's been really good. They've been doing a lot of great work for us at Tukwila Park. And so we're trying to give them some education. But like, for example, Mike Perfetti doing Duwamish Gardens tour, and he was a designer, and how did he do that? And then our staff, park staff's going to be working with them, talking about youth employment and summer jobs, and how do you get a job in that field. And then the last group of people are just awarded a grant for the Bhutanese Community Resource Center as summer search nonprofits. So they will be able to help us work through some green Tukwila programs too. And then finally, 2 years ago, we tried to adopt a park, or maybe it's probably longer, adopt a park, and we just started doing a see you in the park event and just getting people activated in the parks. And then once COVID hit, people really just wanted to reach out. So we did we started the Adopt a Spot program this last year, and it's just been incredible to see parents and kids working together in parks, all in small groups. So this, you know, two or three kids, a parent with two or three kids, or two parents out there, working. And that's just allowing them to, one, help us, and also to appreciate nature, and hopefully learn how to take care of a park you're in. You don't just throw the garbage on the ground, you put the litter in the garbage can. You know, so it's kind of educational about how you keep a park clean and how you maintain a park. So it's been a very good program, and it's been really great for the community to get involved with our parks like that. So that's all I have for you.
Didn't want to do that. Share my screen. Ha. Now Kathy has something to say about me. I'll go ahead and get started with Councilmember Edan.
I don't have any questions or comments. Thank you.
Councilmember Crawler?
Good report. It shows that you're doing your best you can, you know, because we can't get that many people together. And it looks like people are responding to volunteer, which is always good and healthy. The two questions I have are, is there anything else you want that you can't achieve along these lines? And is there something that you're doing that you think might not want to continue in the future?
Well, to grow the program, we just need more volunteers. We have some businesses that have helped us out last year, but we didn't put it, because this is kind of the first quarter of this year, but that they took us for a whole year and a half working at Crestview Park, and they went there every, you know, once a month and worked. So we have more participation from groups of 40 to 50 when we can get them back in the park. That really makes a huge impact, just like the PIE program working at Tukwila Park. They worked there for like 6 to 8 days this last summer, just knocking out, you know, the tree rings and planting plants, which is, some people find one more fun than the other. What are we doing that we shouldn't be doing? It's we're just trying to grow it. So I think right now we're at the grow point. So, yeah.
Well, Tukwila Park looks a lot better. I did a walk around on a sunny day about a month ago and was really impressed, and had little descriptions about what's going on with the trees and the sword ferns and whatever. It was describing what you were looking at, and I found that to be a step up in class and a little more amenable.
Good. Thanks.
All right. Well, we are at the end of our agenda. Any miscellaneous?
I have one. And I don't think there's anybody from police department here. It's a miscellaneous on a response time. I got a letter from Mr. Newfer. Oh, there you are. Eric's there. Yay. It was a long diatribe about an incident where they have it sounds like a frequent flyer that gets either inebriated or on drugs and either falls asleep on the sidewalk or crawls into people's cars and does car prowls in between, probably taking small amounts of money or specific items, and his disappointment, and I cannot tell from his letter when this occurred, because he was talking from 2 years ago to now, was that they had basically cornered the guy and held him until police came, so technically he was apprehended, and a bigger priority call came, and they all had to take off in their cars, which I understand. His complaint is no follow-up, and this person's still actively doing what they're doing. So it really felt like an email to the mayor and the administration, but the one comment about council was that we don't put enough pressure on you guys. So I responded.
I'd like to argue that one.
Well, thank you for that, because I think we try. But I just wanted to give voice to it during this meeting, because it's a community services and safety meeting. And, you know, there's stuff that happened this weekend, and I don't know. I sit back when I feel like, wow, I wish police could take care of it, and say, what could police do? And I don't know what you can do with an emerging, you know, crime other than respond if we call. So, for example, you know, although I put plates on the bottom of my Prius, 8 o'clock in the morning on, I think, Saturday, maybe Sunday, I heard a car slow down, so I just looked out because I didn't know if they were like, going to visit my neighbor or me. And they moved about two houses away, and then they pulled over in front of a house that's really recently for sale and been very active. So I just kind of watched them because I didn't see a realtor. And out of the passenger side comes a woman. She lights a cigarette. She starts walking down the middle of our road. And I thought, oh, they must have been lost and overshot the address. And then she starts walking past three cars straight for my car. And so I sit down in the window, and she got 2 feet away and then noticed I was there, looked really blanched, turned around, and walked away. And I'm thinking to myself, there's nothing you can do as police to prevent that. And that it happened at 8 instead of 4 in the morning was only a fortuitous thing. So I think what I told him was I would be looking to administration and police to maybe communicate what we try to do about, because his concern is if it's a trend, is there a way to get people, you know, out of that loop, whether it's through treatment or, it didn't sound like he was really interested in incarceration, but just pull them out of the loop because it's repeating constant crimes against us. So I'm going to be quiet and just say, it feels like maybe we should proactively communicate what we're trying to do and what you expect citizens to do, because 90% of this, just from going through the chief interview, sounds like us doing a better job of not being attractive victims. But I think we need to talk to public more about this. That's my comment.
I agree. And I have, we've received the same email from Mr. Newfer, some of which is information we were already familiar with, because the incident he referenced, or some of the incidents he references, occurred prior, and he complained at the time about those as well. But I've since reached out to Mr. Newfer, and I've made an opportunity for me to meet, not just me, but our team to meet with him and his neighbors to see what we can do to address their concerns specifically. The one incident they're referencing, we believe Mr. Newfer didn't provide the individual's identification. We believe we know who it is they're referencing, in which case we have tried multiple times in getting him some help with mental professionals. In the one incident where he was released because officers had to go to something that took a higher priority, we did cite him for the incident. So he was arrested and then released, but we had his information. That information was forwarded to the court in the hopes of the court also recognizing that, you know, maybe treatment might be in order versus any type of jail time and or financial punishment. So we are aware of it. We're looking to find ways that we can better engage to address those types of problems. A lot of it does come down to the education piece. However, at the same time, if we can get creative about presence and making those that might be thinking about doing those types of crimes aware that police are looking for them, it might deter them and have them go into other areas. So we're trying to come up with a game plan to address Mr. Newfer's concerns, but take it to a larger scale and address the public engagement piece, both informational and public awareness, while at the same time listening to what the community's concerns are and then actively addressing those concerns.
And then my follow-up comment, the first thing that came to my mind is because of COVID and over time, things have sort of lax. I know that our block watch is completely broken down in my neighborhood and has been for about 5 years. So maybe, you know, on us as council members to start trying to stir that up a little more, you know, just Zoom meetings online. But the big piece will be is how do we report and can we see responses that, I wrote to Newfer that you respond, I think, fine. You know, it's what happens when you get there, whether they've got evidence or a person in or anything to work with that makes it hard for you guys. But if we all dial in our cameras, if we got them, and do block watch together and report, maybe we can make it undesirable for people to come into the neighborhoods as well. Don't know. It made me think that's one area where neighbors can help neighbors.
Well, the other piece to that is I think the area where the police department can do better at is the follow-up with those incidents. So, yeah, we had to leave, but maybe we could have come back later when we weren't so busy to explain why we had to leave and what ultimately was done with that individual so people aren't left guessing. Because if they're left guessing, they're going to assume the worst and or assume we don't care. And that could be further from the truth. Councilmember Don, it looked like you had something, and then try to wrap
up. Yeah, just wanted to highlight same thing. I've heard not only this individual, but the similar instances from a different community members, and I've also talked to one of the current officers. This is a challenging problem. It would be really great to kind of figure out. The examples I was shared with is you know, an individual doing some minor things on properties, and then they get caught, and then, you know, 3 hours later, they come back to the same space. And again, it kind of feels like, oh, you know, did the police didn't do their job or something. I think there, you know, I kind of dove into it, understand a bit more on what and how. It to me, it kind of looks like a very convoluted process itself, but it would be good to kind of figure out how to approach that better. And I think you've highlighted, Chief, some things while you're speaking. So.
And then maybe, Interim Chief Drever, maybe we can come back to this committee and you can share with us your plans over time. And then that way it's kind of documented and getting your message out. I mean, there's something important that has to happen tonight. The expectation is we'll pick up from there.
You got it.
All right. Thank you. We are at the end of our agenda. All righty. Bye.
Thank you, John. Bye-bye. See you later, Zach.
See ya.